Welcome to This Day in Pottery History, a series of brief observations, meditations, vignettes, and editorials about the backroads and byways of pottery history that helped shape the pottery world as we know it today, here on this very day in pottery history. I'm your host, Stephen Earp. For images and reading lists associated with these narratives, visit StephenEarp.com/podcasts. And now, let's get going.
Episode 23, 100 Years From Now. Eras usually end because nobody cares. The latest thing gets all the attention. For example, when American handmade utilitarian pottery almost died out in the mid-19th century, nobody ran into the streets gnashing teeth and pulling hair. Only with the passage of time can we really understand what happened at any given moment. Our self-absorbed modern penchant for naming current eras notwithstanding, i.e., the information age, the digital age, Gen X, Gen Y, Gen Z, Gen Alpha, etc., etc., etc. Who really understands what's happening today? What will they say of us 100 years from now? But, for potters at least, in 1876 something amazing happened. We actually did look back at ourselves and realized the value of something we once had and were rapidly losing. And we acted on that realization. The catalyst was the first World's Fair to be held in the U.S., the International Exposition of 1876, also called the Centennial Exhibition in Philadelphia. At the time, we wanted to show the world our best, what we've added up to. And we invited the world to stand beside us, to show us their best. The result? We flopped. We had lost sight of our phenomenally creative previous ceramic impulse. Gone were the uniquely American cobalt-slipped stoneware crocks. Gone were the playful sgraffito works and tulip wares. Redware was a memory. The daring porcelains, Rockinghams, agates, and Parisians of our pioneering pottery firms had morphed into a soulless, mass-produced product. American potters flocking to the exhibition saw in the international exhibits a world that knew where it was coming from and where it wanted to go. Our exhibits confronted us with questions. What happened? What had we become? What could we become? These potters came away changed. Those men and women were inspired to advance American ceramics beyond mass-produced uniformity. American women were especially motivated by this watershed event. For many, it began with China painting, the first true ceramic art in the United States. Two presidential wives and many future leaders in the movement began as China painters. But any list of what eventually became art pottery leaders must begin with Mary Louise McLaughlin and Maria Longworth Nichols. Maria Louise McLaughlin's centennial experience motivated her to spearhead, in 1879, the Queen City, Ohio Pottery Club, America's first all-women's pottery organization. Her efforts set the stage for Rookwood and the blossoming of art pottery in Cincinnati. Rookwood Pottery was founded in 1880 by Maria Longworth Nichols, another centennial convert. No other pottery matched Rookwood's uniquely American style. But there were many others. Newcomb Pottery in New Orleans, founded specifically to instruct young women. Mary Chase Stratton's Pewabic Pottery in Detroit. Lana Ireland's Art Pottery in San Francisco, California, which, by the way, exclusively used native Californian clays. These and many more set the stage for Adeline Alsop Robineau's porcelain work, beginning in 1904, and culminating in her magisterial scarab vase. The stage was set for America's arts and crafts revolution and the beginning of the ceramic landscape that we know today. As Edwin Attlee Barber once said, the existence of a true ceramic art in this country may be said to have commenced with the Fair of 1876. Sometimes it's nice to recognize on whose shoulders we all stand. Thanks for listening, and until next time, remember that sage advice to anyone embarking on a new adventure in ceramics. Start with a lump of clay.